This morning we are beginning a new sermon series from the book of Hebrews. And we're in chapter 1 today. We'll be reading verses 1 through 4. And if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bibles, you may. And I encourage you to listen now to God's word. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. This ends the reading from God's word. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This past week on PBS, there was an interesting program one night that imagined what would happen if we picked up radio signals from outer space indicating that there was alien life. And as you can imagine, in this imagined look at the future, social media went crazy, the supermarket shelves were empty, people devolved into camps around those who believed and those who didn't believe. And the program sort of grounded this imagined future in the true reality that right now we do have radio telescopes pointed into outer space listening for signals from some alien civilization. One notable telescope is right here in Ohio back in the 70s. Maybe some of you have been around long enough to have heard about this. In 1977, a telescope, the Ohio State Radio Ear Device, picked up a signal from somewhere that was notable for being kind of loud, and it stood out above the background noise. It was described at the time as the wow signal. And no one has ever explained yet what that signal was. You know, was it proof or was it a spoof? Was it just a kid with a ham radio? Nobody knows, even to this day. There's very little evidence, of course, for aliens, unless you're a fan of the X-Files, maybe. Maybe they're out there, maybe not. And for some reason, we spend a lot of time listening for them. Billions of dollars are spent listening for them. But the thing that strikes me is that there is ample evidence for a creator of this vast universe in which we live. There's ample evidence for God. We look at the richness of the created reality. We look at the intricacy of the human body and how it's put together so wonderfully. We sort of intuitively know in our hearts that there is a creator. All of this beauty, all of this glory can't come from nothing. And it makes sense that if this God went to all the trouble of creating us, that he would also speak to us, that he would communicate with us. But the truth is, we don't spend much time listening for signals from God. We don't spend much time taking in what God has to say to us. The book of Hebrews begins with this marvelous assertion. God has spoken. In the past, we read, God spoke through the forefathers, or to the forefathers, through the prophets in many ways and in a variety of different manners. And then in these last days, we read God has spoken again by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a God, and this God speaks. The implications of this are really astounding. It means that God is not just some abstract force, like some divine energy, like maybe the Star Wars vision of the Force, but that God is personal. He is knowable. He is a God who communicates, a relational God who wants to speak into our lives and to direct us in some way. There's this modern word that young people are familiar with today when it comes to relationships. It's called ghosting. And, you know, it happens when someone all of a sudden just doesn't respond to your texts anymore. Have you ever been ghosted? Your friend just like kind of drops out. They don't speak to you. All communication goes dark. Maybe they block you on social media. It's unsettling to be ghosted, because communication is the glue that binds relationships together. And when we think about God speaking to us, one of the implications is that our God is not a God who withholds himself. He doesn't ghost you. He doesn't give you the silent treatment. But he's a God who is engaged in your life and wants to speak, wants to be heard, wants to be known, wants to be found. And when we listen to what he has to say, we find that his word is like a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. His words are the words of eternal life. They are wise and true. They're the words of love and grace that draw us into his very presence. Let's say that you get that. You understand there's a God. He's a God who speaks. I think the next question we all naturally have is, well, where do I go to hear God speak? Is it through some kind of visionary experience? Is it some kind of dream that I have? Is it a still small voice? How do I hear God's speech? The writer of Hebrews points us to two sources of God's speech in the text. In the past, we read, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, and then in these last days, he speaks to us through his Son. So there's kind of a division here. This is where we sort of get the Old Testament and the New. We have in the past God speaking to the forefathers through the prophets. In the Old Testament times, God spoke to Israel through a variety of means. He spoke to Moses in the burning bush, calling him to lead the people out of Egypt. He spoke through the major prophets, people like Isaiah and Ezekiel and Amos. He spoke over centuries, beginning first with Adam in the garden, going all the way through the Old Testament to the latter prophets like Malachi. And then he speaks in a variety of different ways. He spoke through dreams and visions, as to Abraham when he made a covenant with him in Genesis. God spoke through angels, as in Judges chapter 2. He spoke through the prophets, like when Nathan came and confronted King David. He spoke through the dictates of the law when he gave the law to Moses and the Ten Commandments and the books of the Torah. God even spoke through a donkey, didn't he? When he spoke to Balaam to deter him from his path. God spoke in a variety of ways in the Old Testament revelation. And I think a lot of us still wonder, you know, how valuable is that Old Testament speech? In the past, God spoke to the forefathers, to Israel. How valuable is that? There was an infamous heretic in church history named Marcion who wanted to write the Old Testament right out of the Bible because in his mind, it didn't really fit in with how we view God as a God of love in the New Testament today. And so he wanted to take the Old Testament and just cut it right out. And today, still, people are kind of thinking in similar ways that, you know, the Old Testament, we just wonder, does it really fit with God? And I think the thing to recognize is that the speech of the Old Testament is still good. It is still very much God. God is the same God today, yesterday, and forever. He hasn't changed from the Old Testament to the New. But the Old Testament speech of God is partial. It is incomplete. And the fulfillment of it, the completion of it, comes when we add in the New Testament. Some have said that the Old Testament is like a map without a legend. Remember, on the old paper maps, there would be a legend to the map. I always enjoyed looking at those when I would pull out the big AAA map and lay it across my table planning a trip, you know, maybe before the age of smartphones. And the little legend was a box. And you could see the scale, so an inch represented so many miles, and the squiggly lines on the map represented maybe rivers or railroad tracks or something like that. And the New Testament is like a legend, if you will, to the old. It helps us make sense of God's speech in the old. And the two go together. Think of the New Testament as a key that unlocks the old. Which is why the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, yes, in the past God spoke to the prophets in the Old Testament, but now in these latter days he speaks to us by his Son. And it is through Christ that the Old Testament now comes alive and makes sense. The Old Testament had its sacrifices. We scratch our heads and wonder what those mean. Well, they're fulfilled in the complete and final sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. The Old Testament had its hope for a Messiah in this kind of shadowy way, but now that hope is revealed in Christ, who is the Messiah, God's anointed, the heir of all things. The Old Testament had its law, now deepened as Christ interpreted it in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus took the law and he taught us its fullest and deepest meaning. You might remember at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, after Jesus spoke, the people who heard him were amazed, and they said, who speaks like this, one with authority? It's as if his voice spoke, and it was that voice, like we read in the call to worship today, that thundered across the waters and hit home into the human heart and resonated at such a level that people just stopped and had to pay attention. These were the words of the Son of God, the words of life. There is a finality to God's speech revealed in his Son. We see that in this phrase that the writer of Hebrews uses here: in these last days, we read, God has spoken by his Son. And that little phrase, last days, is picked up from the Old Testament. Old and new go together, remember. But in the Old Testament, that phrase was often used to indicate the time when the Messiah would come. We tend to think of it as like the end times or some kind of apocalyptic thing. That's not really it. The last days in the Old Testament was a reference to the coming of God's Messiah to bring the kingdom of God into the world. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey everyone, guess what? The last days are here. The messianic age, the age of God's Son, has arrived. And God is now on the scene in the flesh speaking to us. So let's pay attention to what he has to say. So much of the book of Hebrews points us to the superiority of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and why we should direct our attention to him. There's some glimpses of that in our text, little glimpses that we will unpack as we go through Hebrews. But for today, we read that Christ is the heir of all things. He's involved in creating the world and even sustaining it, we read. We see that he is the radiance of God's glory, which means that Jesus himself radiates out the very presence of God. He is God. It's not like the moon or other heavenly bodies that reflect light from the sun, but it's more like the sun, which just has light inherently on its own. Jesus is like that. He's not reflecting God. He is radiating God because he is the source of the divine. He is of the same substance of the Father. And so from him comes God. And Jesus is always radiating out the presence of God in his earthly ministry, isn't he? He spoke and people were healed. There was a power to his word. He spoke and people were forgiven. He spoke and the proud were challenged and humbled. He spoke in the way that he modeled humility and grace and mercy. The writer of Hebrews says he is the exact representation of God, the one who shows us in the flesh what God is like. He is today alive and seated at God's right hand, and all of the universe is sustained by the word of his power. And the writer of Hebrews is trying to get us to see if all of that is true of Christ, and if you believe that to be true, then what else would you possibly be listening to or want to listen to? Let us listen to the voice of Christ if this is true, if he is God who radiates out God's glory. When I was a kid, many of you, again, of a certain generation, I guess I'm getting too old. I always have these old guy sermon illustrations anymore. But, you know, you'll remember when I was a kid and we wanted to watch TV, my parents are here, they'll appreciate this. But, you know, back in those days, we had analog TV sets. Where we lived, we didn't have cable out in the country. And so if you wanted to watch a show, you had to turn the little dial and hope the TV antenna on your house would turn a certain direction to pick up the signal. And for us in Western Pennsylvania, if you wanted to watch shows from Pittsburgh, you turn the antenna to the south. Sometimes we'd pick up shows from Youngstown, you turn the antenna to the west for us to pick that up. And if you couldn't get the station in, all you'd have left on the screen was snow. Sort of that, just that white noise going across the screen. But the point was you had to know where to point. You had to know what direction in which to point the antenna to pick up the signal. And you would sometimes spend a lot of time just fine-tuning that so you could watch the television program. And when it comes to listening to God speaking, God is broadcasting on all channels loud and clear by his Son. His voice goes out into the world, thundering across creation by his Son. But the problem is, for many of us in the world, and even for some of us as Christians in the church, oftentimes our antenna is turned the wrong direction and we're listening in all of the wrong places. There are some today who practice other religions who think that we need additional books of revelation after the Bible and after the New Testament to sort of give us the complete picture of what was meant to be said. But if Christ is the Son of God, as the writer of Hebrews describes him, if that is true, then what else could possibly be said than what Christ has said? We have a complete record here. There are no additional books. There are no additional things that need to be said outside of what we read here in Scripture. You've probably heard people say something like, you know, God said to me the other day, or God spoke to me in this or that way. And sometimes that just means, here's what I want to be true, because it fits how I want to live my life right now. And so I back it up by saying, well, God told me this, and it's not really run past the filter of Scripture. Others think the Bible is some complex code with numbers and hidden messages that we have to unravel to find what God is really saying to us. Others are so in tune with the messages of the world that they don't have time to pay attention to the word of Christ that brings life. They're listening to the messages of politicians or the messages of social media, the messages of our entertainers or materialism. And Christ's voice is drowned out in the noise that is there. Let's face it, there's a cacophony of voices and noise in this world today. And it's easy to have Christ's voice somehow lost in the shuffle. But we know better. God speaks by his Son, and it is his voice that should have our undivided attention. Listening to Christ's voice, it's not some big mystery where you have to go out on some retreat in the wilderness to do it. It's something that simply begins by paying attention to the Word, to the Bible, which God has given to us. The New Testament in particular is, you know, it's simply a record of what Jesus taught, either directly or to the apostles who then teach us what Jesus was saying. The writer of Hebrews in the very next chapter says that Jesus announced God's salvation. He spoke. And then he says what he spoke was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Well, who heard Christ? The apostles. And the apostles simply write down what Jesus says and does, and that is the New Testament, which is why we pay attention to it. It's why we give reverence to the Bible, because it contains the speech of Christ, which again is radiated out from God's heart. And so we pay attention to the Scriptures because they reveal to us God's very character. And so if you want to be the kind of person tuning in to hear what God says, then simply let the Bible be at the center of your life. When you wake up in the morning, grab your cup of coffee or however you start your day, spend a few minutes in the Word. You know, God, speak to me through your Word. Let me hear the voice of Christ. Listen to it in your car. You know, if you don't have time when you're doing your morning routine on your drive to work, throw it in on a podcast or something else and just listen to it as you drive around. Get involved in our small groups this winter. The women's group is reading through the book of Philippians together, and the men's group is going to continue our study of the book of Revelation. It's helpful to read the Bible together as a community because it protects us from that tendency we all have to sort of hear in the Bible what we hope to hear or what we think God might be saying that fits our preconceived tendencies or notions. And so we want to have those checked by other people around us who fill in and help us hear God's voice together as a community so that we hear it with as little misunderstanding as possible. And most of all, I would say to you, be in worship on Sunday morning so that we hear God's word together in this place. I mean, a big part of our service is listening to God's word. That's what we're doing right now. Half of our service is listening to someone preach. A big part of my week is putting together sermons to come in and bring on a Sunday morning. And we do this not because the preacher has some red line to God, some special, you know, channel that God is speaking to, but we do this because we believe that God is speaking through the Bible, and every sermon that you hear should be rooted in the Bible. And the only reason you should ever pay attention to a sermon is because it's bringing to you what the Bible says. And if it doesn't do that, you don't really have to listen to it. But if you believe that what I have said to you accords with what there in the scripture, then you should hear and respond. I love how the writer of Hebrews has this humility reflected here in the opening of this particular chapter. He says, God has spoken to us. Notice how he puts that. He includes himself as a member of the church community. He's not above it. He's not outside of it. It's not like God speaks. He doesn't say God speaks to me and then I show up and give you this message from God. God is speaking to us together as a community. There's a posture of humility. Some have thought that this book of Hebrews is really a sermon given to a congregation, because there's a mixture here of teaching and exhortation and encouragement. There's a whole bunch of pastoral stuff going on, like a sermon. And the writer of Hebrews brings it from a posture of humility. I was struck this week when I was preparing the bulletin, because Albert's been gone, I've had to work on the bulletin, something I don't normally do. But so much of the bulletin, if you look at it, I was kind of surprised. Everything we do is around the Word. We gather around the Word. We proclaim the Word. We carry the Word into the world, and we respond to the Word. What are we doing here? We're gathering around God's Word. We're hearing God speak. That's why we come. That's what we want to do. And if God speaks, praise God, He does, let us be a church that hears, that tunes in, and responds. These are the words of life, not careless words. These aren't the throwaway words like in your email where you get it and you glance through it and you delete it, or you hear it on your radio and you're half listening. These are the words of life. And they demand from us our deepest and fullest response. Let that be true of us as we go through the book of Hebrews the next months together. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you that you are a God who speaks, and that you speak words that are true, words that are good, words that are full of life. So Lord, grab hold of us with these words, that we would pay attention and respond with the deepest part of our hearts. We pray it, Lord, in your name. Amen.